school board meeting to order. Irene, will you please determine a quorum?
Yes, Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Mara Lutonsky.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Excused at a graduation.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Katie Holman.
Here.
And Maria Funt.
Absent. She's on school vacation. All right, let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda as written. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Katie. Any discussion or any amendments? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. We don't have any student presentations this evening as the students are enjoying their summer break. And our student representative is as well. Do we have any correspondence, Irene?
No, we do not.
Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any additional comments from board members? All right, we'll move into the consent agenda. I move that we approve the consent agenda, which includes May 2019 monthly accounting bills, payroll, electronic fund transfers, ASB trial balance, and P-card statements, the May 14th, 2019 regular school board meeting minutes, and extra duty contacts for John Clute Painter as the technology coordinator, Jenna Turner for extra counseling services, Bridget Whitstock for SPED director and district test coordinator, and Matt Linhard for additional classes outside of his regular hours for music. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Sarah. And this is a roll call vote.
Okay, Jay Lister.
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
We just have to vote on the actual roll call.
Yeah. All right, Superintendent, give us your administrative report.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Here it comes. So just recognizing the efforts of all of our staff and students at the end of the school year. There was a lot of activities going on, and the graduation was wonderful and well attended, and we appreciate everyone's efforts there, and it was nice to see the class of 2019 go off on their next adventure. It is very busy around the district right now. I'm going to let Mr. Tate address some of those issues. Hot and heavy, with lots of projects going on in the building. We've also been doing a lot of work on planning in-service and professional development for next year. Also working on hiring. We've just finished doing some hiring for some of our classified positions. We did have a special education teacher. Katie was on that committee. She has had family issues and is not going to be able to accept the contract, so we are still searching for a special ed teacher, working on that. Also doing lots of work with budget and continuing to attempt to follow the shenanigans of our state legislators and our administration. Also working on the consolidated grant, the federal programs, Title I migrant, all of those. That has to be substantially submitted by the end of June, and then we have until October to work out all the details of that. We are probably three-fourths of the way done. I think I'm about three-fourths of the way done, and Karen has done a lot of the budget work on that as well, so we're pretty good shape. And we will talk more about legislative issues and the budget further in the agenda, so I won't spend any more time on that. And then also just letting people know out in the public that we're going to be on, we kind of are on a modified schedule at the district office in the summer. We do sometimes not open on Fridays. Karen sometimes works 4/10s, and we're in and out with different travel too. So if for some reason we'll post that if it's going to be not open for some reason. So I think that's it.
All right. Director, any questions for Erica? Director of Maintenance and Facilities, Mr. Dan Tate.
Good evening. On May 21st, Don Hiley of CIRC conducted the district's required three-year asbestos reinspection as a third-party investigator. Every 6 months, I, as the district's designated person, inspect areas of the school where asbestos still exists. And I'm also responsible for the overall management plan and the district's record keeping. As I previously reported, the asbestos remaining in our schools is very minimal and not a danger to students or staff. In fact, with the kitchen remodel currently in progress this past week, more asbestos was abated from our school as part of the demolition process. Mr. Hiley's report indicated that the school district is in a safe state and that our management plan is effective and all of our records and documents are in order. So as you would expect, summer maintenance activities are in full swing. Right now, the main wing of the elementary school is currently being deep cleaned, with the middle school and high school to shortly follow. Hard floors are being stripped over here in the high school. Warren Brown is repairing and refinishing furniture. Rance McIntosh and Eric Hoff are taking the lead on all the carpentry projects this summer. So with only a week and a half in, work that's completed so far include soundproofing was added above the drop ceiling between Jill Lenhart's and Tom Thompson's rooms, and also between Ginger Evans and Ryan Hayes' rooms in the high school. The addition of three floor-to-ceiling cork boards for Bo Ward in his high school classroom. The removal of Mr. Troutman's chalkboards. Now, those are the last of their kind in the district, I believe. And the installation of new whiteboards for our incoming science teacher, Awana Ward. Mrs. Ward's room was also painted and will receive new blinds. And currently, the green room is being painted as of today. Caleb and Ethan Clute Painter pulled wiring for the district security camera upgrade project. And John Clute Painter is managing a new fiber run project and also the installation of two new service doors for access to the network equipment for the district. Planned work for later this summer, we're going to do a continuation of the landscaping and drainage work for the park area over at the library end of elementary school, installation of new blinds for the biology room, an ergonomic remodel of the middle school office, storage solutions for Carrie Curtis's kindergarten classroom, completion of the kitchenette and the district office, and also replacement of the back steps and the ADA ramp into the district office. And, of course, there's also plenty of annual maintenance to our buildings and mechanical systems that we have to accomplish every summer on top of all of that. Two capital projects are currently underway. The underground fuel storage replacement project is in the permitting and procurement phase. They will be mobilizing with local labor on July 22nd with a substantial completion date of August 12th. The food service renovation project is currently on schedule. Demolition began on May 16th in the high school, so it is ahead of the elementary school in terms of visual progress. Walls have been framed and all the rough and plumbing and a good share of the electric work has already been accomplished over here. Work began in the elementary school the day after the students were released for the summer. And as previously mentioned, asbestos abatement is wrapping up at the elementary school with rough framing taking place this week. The outside freezer has been removed. Any yays for that? and work has begun on the improved loading dock that'll be in that area. The demolition phase is also a discovery phase where construction issues pop up that will have to be addressed. Some will be necessary due to unforeseen issues behind the walls and above the ceilings. Some will be related to minor issues or aesthetics. We will be seeing several change order proposals come through in the next few weeks that we'll have to weigh carefully in terms of additional costs versus need. Some of the issues that we are waiting for clarification and a price tag on are there was found 100 square feet of dry rot in the elementary cafeteria floor, relocation of a roof support column not documented inside a wall, a roof membrane replacement at the elementary loading dock. There's some clearance issues for the exhaust ducting in the high school, and then relocation of electrical circuits in both schools that were not well documented in the school's original construction documents. Or most likely, all that wiring just simply expanded over 40 to 50 years of growth of the buildings. So that's what's ahead of us. Not a whole lot of answers at this point, but it's a good start to the summer. Any questions?
Oh, I have a question. The middle school office remodel, will that be giving any better eye line to the front door?
No. What we're talking about is improving Charlie's ergonomics with raising up her countertops and redoing a lot of the filing cabinets and things like that underneath her desk.
Okay. So they can be at like a standing level?
She's got a standing desk now that she can retract to a sitting if she needs to. But we're going to try to get things a little bit more comfortable for her. So.
Okay. When are the kitchen remodels scheduled to be finished?
First week of September. And Carly Johnson has a plan for, you know, serving the kids outdoors again, I think, for the first week of school.
Mm-hmm. Where are they serving currently? I know they're feeding kids through the summer. Mm-hmm. Where is that taking place?
Down at the library, and then they have breakfast out here, out front. That's why it's kind of a mess out there right now.
Eggs.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems to be going well, though. We went to the library today for lunch.
Breakfast could use more support, so if anyone's listening out there, have your kids come by for a high school breakfast in the morning.
Yep, 8:30 to 9:30, right?
I believe so.
Yep, right out front here. We have tables.
At no cost.
Yes. Come join us for breakfast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we'll move into committee reports. Curriculum, Katie? I don't think that you guys have met since.
Does Jamie need to?
No, yeah. Jamie, are you here to give a report?
Well, no. If you want me to.
Do you have anything to report?
Oh,
there's
yeah.
Nothing on there.
She'll
sure.
Be on the handbook.
Oh, you're doing the handbook.
I'll be down there in the handbook.
Do you want to?
He wants to talk.
Give us any activities report?
Yeah, sure. He's just really excited right now.
I'll make it quick. It's fast.
Recap of track?
Yes.
And maybe baseball. What you know about the.
The first is
Barry.
Yeah,
if you know any more than
I do.
Regular Joe knows.
I do. 48 days till cross country. That's what I know. Yeah. Coach Tommy's getting ready. It'll be good. Track and field, we had 5 head to state the second to the last week of school, and 5 boys. They scored 24 points and finished 10th overall with just 5 kids and out of 18 scoring teams. So pretty impressive showing up there for Coach Thane in his first year loved it. The kids loved it, too, and they did a great job. Baseball had a great showing at regionals, beat Thunder Mountain in their first round of games, and then kind of pushed Sitka to the edge in a very long, awesome game. But just some info, our middle school will be moving to Arbiter come July 1st. July 1st is we're going to launch it, and it's going to be ready to rock, and those kids can stay on Arbiter with their paperwork from when they're 6th grade all the way to their seniors.
So what does that mean? Tell us the brand new 6th grader.
The brand new 6th grader coming in. We
it's
will
been a while
have,
since I'm a 6th grader.
Yes, we will have a Arbiter athlete meeting on an evening in the auditorium. I do about 7 of them a year, try to hit every different season of activities. Bring your cell phones, and we will have students by then will have their laptops. We will then get them registered through Arbiter Athlete. We will guide it step by step of how to register your athlete. And you will never have to take a piece of paper of packets home to do your paperwork anymore. It used to be like 9 pages in the middle school, about 13 pages in the high school. It is all paperless except the physical, the health review exam. That one is still paper through the clinic. And then when they bring it in, you can actually take a photo of it, scan it, upload it, and you're done. So we'll go through creating a username and password, and it'll keep you in the system for all your years through middle school, high school. Very easy. It sends you reminders, too, of when your physical is about to expire. So 3 months away, you'll get an email. 2 months away, you get another email. It's very, very simple. We had one parent with 2 kids. It took them 8 minutes to get all their forms done.
Wow.
So it is much better than losing the packet or stuck in the bottom of their backpack. Or something of that sort on the transition. So it'll be great. It should take you about 8 minutes to create your username and password and try to remember the password. That's always the big one. There's a couple key steps in there that we'll do. So we'll meet early in the fall to get that rolling. Cross country for middle school will start before school starts. August 20th, it's a Tuesday. Coach Joe Vicknicki will be coaching them. They're going to start early. Our home meet is the 21st of September. And then they'll go to Ketchikan, so they're going to start before school starts just so they can get their practices in, get in shape, ready for the season. And then swim and dive starts August 7th on a Wednesday, and then high school cross country starts July 31st on a Wednesday. So it's actually a week later, too, this year. So our calendar is going to seem really weird because everything's pushed down a week for next year. So baseball regionals we are hosting will be 2020, the week after Memorial Day weekend. So everything's going to feel backwards. Yeah, just a tad. So just a tad bit. Yeah, it'll be fun. But yeah, that's all we got. But Arbiter Athlete's going to be fantastic. Parents will love it, I promise. So yeah, we'll have lots of meetings. Well, we'll have lots of information on when the meetings will come in. Everything's updated on the middle school website for what those dates will look like so far. There's some information on there, and then coming soon will be how to register with Arbiter Athlete. You can do it right from your cell phone. It takes real quick. So, be fun. Questions?
Can you tell us about the fair? Sorry.
Yes. So, I haven't looked at the latest legislative push, but hopefully it's. I think it was cut 50%. Is the idea about $43 million? I did speak with the scheduler in Ketchikan, and so the person I usually contact with, and I send all of our massive dates of all the activities that go on Mayfest that happen in our community. So I sent her all of that. She said she's not able to make a schedule just yet, just because until they show the money first that shows up, then she can kind of plan what the schedule will look like. But it'll be pretty skeleton come the winter time is what we're thinking. Yeah. So, but she's planning for the best, and we will try and make it work, especially for our very big large events that come up. Southeast Honors Music will be in Juneau. There's a lot of things happening in Juneau next year for activities wise, so travel might not be as complicated. Going north, sometimes it is, but going south would be pretty interesting too. The Lynn Canal route is going well from what I heard on the Teslina, but we will see. Yeah, it's going good, so we'll see what happens when we get the final budget.
Is the basketball schedule set, or were they really still waiting?
It's in a draft mode right now. It'll be approved in September, but our dates for the region tournament and state are set.
Okay.
Yeah, those two dates are in there, the big ones that are kind of on there. But pretty similar to last year, kind of a home and away with the girls will stay and the boys will go, just to limit how many are traveling and shorter trips. And with Breakaway's new boat, it's been easier to move around during the wintertime and everything. Yes, it's a very big, nice boat. It's about a 36-foot long, 13-foot wide boat. It can fit about 24, 25, 26 on there. It's got a bathroom. It's got a sink. It is prime.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's very.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's a very nice boat. He's been great to us. Eric at Breakaway Adventures has been helping out the schools for a long time. So, but we're being much more creative in scheduling. Much more creative. But, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Question. I have a question, but it's not.
I'm ready.
It's not athletic related, and it's probably.
That's okay.
More for Mr. Dormer, but I bet you can answer.
I bet I could.
Are there, like, tutorials for parents on how to use the online systems that the kids use?
Oh.
So I got invited to last year.
Yep.
To follow along on Canvas.
Yep.
Zero idea how that works. And so
yes.
I never did it.
So there
so
are
if there's any
the help button on the Canvas page can help quite a bit, but you just have to kind of know exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
My easiest route was I had Kieran sit down with me and show me what he does on his. They are slick. The kids are really slick with the Canvas and everything else that they do. Especially if you hear, you know, IXL or Carnegie, those things. The kids do a really pretty good job of explaining how to look in and all of those. But the tutorials on YouTube aren't bad either. We've looked at that too. But I think
but
that it's something we can put in links.
Parent access, like the parent portal, like
parent
the Canvas,
portal.
Or
probably.
Yep. You're looking from the parent side.
The invitation.
Alice?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been signed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
So the parent section of how to get in, it looks a little bit different than what the student sees. But when you log in, there is a help tutorial button in the upper right-hand corner that you can go to and kind of see through the what specifically are you looking for? I'm looking for this. How do I find this? And it'll take you right to it.
Yeah.
But YouTube's amazing. And it'll give you a step-by-step too. But IXL too is pretty complicated when you first look at it, but then it's really simple once you watch the kid try to do it. Watch your kids try to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should do it with them. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
You can get the adverbs
again.
We can
do a parent laptop. Yes. Reminded.
Which we are thinking of doing with the middle school next year. That's one thing we did talk about, of doing an intro computer night technology-wise with the parents for middle school, just because of the laptops, of how much they are using.
Fall. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like next year.
No. Yeah. We're going to do it in the fall. We'll do one in the fall just to kind of introduction into the laptops, because it's more theirs for the whole time. They don't put it back and everything else. They take it with them throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then just to go over the tech policy that we have, because it's a little bit more responsibility on them and kind of reduce.
Well, if they have it at night, you know, they're.
Well, middle school kids don't.
They don't take it home.
But that's another issue.
Yeah, so that's another issue. We had quite
my child did not have it at night. Except for once, and they got detention.
Yeah, we had quite a few kids, you know, kind of those accidentally, they're running from one place to another, and then they get done with study hall, and then they go and they leave the laptop in the backpack. We had quite a few of those in the beginning, instead of just putting them back at the end because they're doing study hall. So that's one thing we want to try and reduce the number of times the laptop goes home.
Sixth grade.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a good question.
What detention does.
It's a very good question.
They remember.
They do remember. Yeah. Good question. Okay.
Thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So back to school board committee reports. Katie, anything with curriculum after we approved? I don't think they met
again.
Jay, anything new with facilities after we heard from
Mr. Tate? Fill us in.
Negotiations are fine. They are signed off and set. We'll come up with teacher negotiation in 2 years. It'll be the next time. Anything with policy?
Sarah? No, we didn't meet by the end of the year. We probably won't until August or September, I would think.
Other than the policies that we have coming out?
Yeah, we wouldn't bring in more to the board yet.
Anything with technology, Jay?
No, I don't have anything. We have a meeting. I would like to try to discuss how we can possibly increase the amount of online classes we have, or because we have so many kids are traveling. So how we can encourage teachers to put more stuff online for the kids while they're
content,
like either classes where they
or
well, just like I know with Troutman, you could actually call in and be part of the class while they're traveling.
Okay, quite a few students do that, don't they?
But how to increase more of the classes availability that way? It seems to be pretty valuable to the kids that are out a lot, but
Or be able to access a video lecture explanation or something.
Yeah, Mr. Thompson was one of that too. You can access, like if Morgan was out for traveling or for math, a lot of them are on there, you can watch. But yeah, being able to call in. There's some things with Ring Central we have to deal with. There's some a certain number of lines that we have to pay for. So we just have to sort some of that through too for calling in like to class. If they want to actively we just have to sort some tech out, but we can do that.
Anything with wellness, Katie?
Nope.
I'll circle back to the legislative what we know. So what we know is that forward funding was passed last year. And neither the House or the Senate picked it up in order to change it. And so, in their eyes, that's where it stands, that it was funded last year. It was funded with the flat BSA and the $30 million one-time funding, and that's where it should sit. The governor's office has sent out several messages saying that his attorney general doesn't believe that that is law, even though it has happened in the past, and even though he tried to pass his own bills that would have done essentially the same thing. But in this case, apparently, his ruling is that it is not lawful, and if funding is not included in the budget, then basically he's saying, then we won't be able to fund schools. The House and the Senate are taking the position that the funding that they have in place means that it starts July 1st at the way that it was signed into law by Governor Walker. So there is a real possibility that we'll be heading towards a lawsuit come July 1st if payments don't go out. So that's where we're at with that, that it might be being held up in the courts. And we will have to sort through paying our own bills, which, as you can see from our consent agenda, 1 month of bills is about $800,000. And that's when the school is, of course, active, and there's some different differences during the summer months, but it doesn't mean it goes down to zero just because we don't have kids in the classroom. So there will be some real situations that we will have to figure out at that time. We will still have, hopefully, if the borough did pass their budget today, which includes $1.8 million in funding towards our budget, and we could possibly get creative with how they fund that and how the money flows through for that. So, yeah.
And we did receive an email this morning and confirmation from the Department of Education that they have made the decision to release the one-time $20 million for this year to the school districts. They've gone ahead and they're releasing it. So I don't think that's in line with clearly what the governor wants to do, but that was agreed upon also last year, and people actually based budgets this year, current year, on that money. So we had held it in our capital line item, which is a good place for it with food service things and other, you know, as we always know with projects. But so we did not actually, you know, encumber it and spend it, but many districts did because it was what was agreed upon. So they did release that. They sent us the email this morning about that. So, yeah.
So yay, we get it the very last minute.
There's that right down to the wire. So.
Can I just say one thing about correspondence? You asked if there was any, and I said there wasn't. Oh. However, there was an email that came from Timmy Tolis asking if you all want her to come in the fall to get it scheduled, because your schedule's filling up.
Okay.
So I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where we stand. We could still be in lawsuits.
Everybody.
I joke, although it's not funny. And I think that's where it's at. I mean, the House and the Senate have also both passed their other budgeted items that they had been working out on. They agreed upon a budget, and they have sent it off to the governor, so he has a set amount of time whether he can veto the entire thing, veto just a few things. But this education funding is not within that budget, so it's complicated. It's complicated. That's my Facebook stats.
It's all of us.
So yeah, we might know more by the August meeting. We will see. All right. No special recognitions. Moving into old business, we have no new business, obviously. Or do we? No, we do old business first. 2019-2020 school calendar update. So we'll be receiving some information. There has been a revision. Some slight revision to the 2019-2020 school calendar. Our start and end times are still the same, and vacation holidays during the middle of the year are basically the same as well. There are just a few slight changes, so Erica, go ahead and tell us.
So there it is. So we did approve this, and at the time, we approved this, I believe it was in April, and at the time we did talk about that there was some conversation still going on within the Professional Development Committee and within the schools about parent-teacher conferences, and also just the continued need for time for teachers, for collaboration, and for, you know, having real opportunities to work with the data that we've been gathering, and then to actually have time to focus the instruction individually for students. So with that all being said, basically what is, I guess, new or kind of moved around, in September, if you'll notice, there is a day on the 23rd, and that is a new day that's been put in. And that day is very specifically designed for teachers to do RTI, response to intervention work, and work with data, and do it early enough in the year after the very first assessment with MAP, and being able to get off on the right foot, and also to start communications with parents if there's any specific concerns or things that need to happen there. Also then, next and sort of new, would be in October, the 15th, 16th, 17th. This is not a change to the day itself, but there's been a lot of conversation about middle and high school, in particular, trying to figure out a the best way for teachers to have, parents to have access to teachers. And it's more difficult than the elementary because you're trying to see 5 or 6 or 7 teachers. And for those of us in the room here that have been parents, it's hard. They've tried a lot of different ways to do it. Schedule one, try different days, you know, whatever. So anyway, what they're doing is they're going to have 3 days. They're going to do long days. The school day itself is going to be the same, but they're going to go like 3 to 7 for 3 days in a row. And they're going to try to break it up like freshmen would be on Tuesday and then organize kind of like the elementary does with some actual scheduling and having like the teams of teachers so you could access 3 or 4 teachers at one time for your child. So it'll take some coordination, but yeah, I think that's the basic gist of what they want to try to do, so to try to make it better for parents. So that won't change the school day, but that's what middle and high school are planning to do in October. Then we have the regularly scheduled in-service days already around Halloween. And then in November, elementary will continue to do their same conference schedule that they do because it works for them. And same scheduling and all of that. And then district-wide, everybody will still be off on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So those are the basic changes or adjustments there. In January, this is another one that it would be, I guess, new, if you want to call it that. And it is on Monday the 6th, right after Christmas vacation. That is to accommodate the end of semester, which they're going to do finals before Christmas. That was a big conversation, I think, here with the board and also just in the community and getting feedback from students and families and teachers to try to end that winter break, the finals, before. So having the 6th be an in-service day again for RTI planning when teachers come back, finalizing the semesters, getting the next semester going, you know, getting finals all put to bed, I guess is what we would call that. That will be a no school day for students and I guess for parents. So that's a one more extra day for a vacation for people.
Except for parents that are teachers.
Except for parents who are teachers. We're school personnel, exactly, but we'll all be here working. So then in February, the 17th is an in-service day. That's over President's Day. We did that this year as well, so we'll all be here, but people, kids will have that and families potentially. Then the same process will happen for middle and high school conferences again in February that I talked about in October. They're going to try it again, 3 days. Won't affect the day, school day, but try the 3 longer days and breaking up by grade levels. And elementary conferences will be on the 4th and 5th of March. Nothing really new there. And then district-wide, the vacation day will be added to the 13th, which is right before spring break.
Ooh, wow.
So that week, especially at the elementary school, is going to be a long week because we're not, you know, typically we've done like a long day, and then the Friday is the day that to make up for those long days for teachers. We'll do it on that Friday, have it off, but we're going to make it hopefully better for families and people who travel, because a lot of times people leave on that Friday already, so that's what we're going to try to accommodate that. So we moved it.
And staff personnel have that day.
Staff will also on that day have that, exactly, to make up for the late conference days.
I have a question though, about the 5th.
Yes.
So it'll be an early release for the elementary on the 5th, and then an early release on the
1:45 release on Friday.
On the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And then the in-service days in April, we bumped them a week ahead because we like to try to put those over Music Fest in the spring because there's a lot of kids out already. That's a big group that travels typically. So unfortunately, that means Mr. Lenhardt isn't here, but it offsets, we think, with the number of kids that are out. It also gets us past the testing window, which is Bridget's world there. And then May, yeah. And I don't think there's any other adjustments there. So
there's 2 new in-service days?
Yes. Yep. And actually, it was interesting because we moved things around enough that we actually are coming in at under the 10. Like, you have to, you can allow for 10. And the way we're kind of modifying the conference days is allowing us to sort of capture more time for our teachers. So it's interesting because it ends up, we moved them around to where we're still within those 10 days. Because we had talked about maybe applying to the state for additional, you know, because we're well over the required minimum minutes in our district. We're well over. Anyway, so we had talked about Sitka does that. They have captured some additional days because they've made the case that they've been over in their minutes and they've
captured the days by those minutes.
Yeah, so we want to see how this goes, and then if we feel like there's additional need, then I think we would go forward with potentially applying for additional time for the work that has to be done. So, yeah. Any other questions on that?
No. Okay. No vote on that, just information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we are at policies at second and final reading. I move that we approve the above listed policies at second and final reading. That you want me to rattle off the board policy numbers?
I think you might have to.
That include board policy 100, philosophy, board policy 420, school-based management site councils, board policy 1000, concepts and rules, board policy 1260, visits to schools, board policy 1311, participation in community life, which is a new policy. Board policy 1312, public complaints concerning the schools. Board policy 1312.1, public complaints concerning the school personnel. Board policy 1312.2, public complaints concerning instructional materials. Board policy 1312.3, public complaints concerning discrimination. Board policy 1400, relations between other governmental agencies and the schools. Board policy 3541.1, school-related trips. Is there a second?
I'll second.
So most of these policies were minor changes, wording updates, following new law legislation. Mm-hmm. They weren't radical new changes within our already existing board policies. So. Any other discussion? All right.
Sorry, I don't know what I want to say.
All in favor? Thank you. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. All right, moving into new business, fiscal year 20, budget presentation and adoption. Director of Finance, Director Karen Quitzland, will present the budget and be available for questions. I move to start discussion. I move that we approve fiscal year 20's budget.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah Holmgren.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for. This is the presentation of the Petersburg School District's fiscal 2020 operating budget. This is a solid budget. It's fiscally conservative. And it's a standard quo budget. It's based on student enrollment of 461 students, which is the same as this year. So this enrollment slide just provides perspective on what our student enrollment trends have been. You can kind of look at the variation we've seen through the years. The importance of this number is that approximately 75% to 80% of our district's revenue comes from the state, and it's based on these numbers. Our current staffing for fiscal 20 is 41 certified teachers. That includes our regular instruction teachers, our special education teachers, our counselors, our librarian, our special education director, our technology director, and our activities director. We have 34 paraprofessionals. That includes 19 classroom aides. We have one technology assistant, four secretaries, one accounts payable payroll clerk, six custodian and maintenance staff, and three food service aides. We have seven exempt employees. That includes the superintendent, the principals, myself, the district admin assistant, the maintenance director, and the food service director. So Mara gave a nice overview of the legislative update. We're kind of ignoring that with this budget because there's nothing that's going to be passed before our budget is required to be sent to the state. So we're moving forward, and we will most likely have to adjust with a revision if the governor does his own will. Erica, do you want to expand on this at all?
I don't think there's much else to add here. This, I just kind of did the bullet points, which is basically what Mara has already addressed, which was, which is, you know, just talking about that it's all really happening, right? I mean, it just continues to happen daily, you know. So yesterday was the day they passed it to the governor, and we haven't really heard much from him yet. There's expectation, of course, that he will either veto some or all parts of it. He's... It seems to be particularly fond of talking about not wanting to pay school bond debt. So that's been a discussion yesterday at the borough level, and that'll be a conversation for the community to have about that. And then really, just as Mara also said, the ongoing stalemate between the legislature and the governor regarding FY20 education funding, which is outside of that overall budget. So the July 1st is the deadline to pass that operating budget. And the biggest issue for us is that July 15th date, which is when they typically release the first payment for the 2020 year, the fiscal year 20 year. And we don't know what will happen. So basically what we're hearing is that they're waiting to see what he does. And if it is not released, if it's held up, they are likely to sue the administration. Legislature is likely to sue our own legislature, is likely to sue our own administration. So really that the point there, that what we're hearing from when we're talking with our executive director and people in Juneau, is that what they're really going to be asking for there is, you know, basically we should not, our kids ultimately should not be held hostage at this point, and not potentially even allowed to start the school year without funding for issues that the adults need to sort out. So they're going to be asking for some sort of an injunction or something so that schools can continue to function on some level and open their doors. Because as we know, and we talk about a lot here, you know, we are capped at that 10% of our fund balance. So, for example, as Mara said, we're talking about May is a very large payroll, larger than most, we should probably say that, because there's some doubled up for summer and that sort of thing.
Actually, it's June.
June, excuse me. But we have, you know, approximately $900,000 in our reserves, and so we can all do the math. You know, as we always say, we're about 6 to 8 weeks, you know, depending on where we are. That's what we have. So, that's the problem. So we're waiting for people who potentially should know better to pull up their big girl and big boy pants and do what they need to do and stop holding kids hostage. There. Is that enough?
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. All right.
So going forward with our regular operating budget, I will continue. Just as a budget overview, some things about revenue. Again, I said it was based on 461 enrolled students. That's flat from fiscal 19. We're receiving flat funding by the borough at $1.8 million. We are appreciative of the borough's constant support for the school district and education. It's flat foundation funding from the state, assuming that they can work out their budget. And the one-time $30 million grant is not reflected in this budget. We wanted to actually take a conservative approach. So that's $143,000, and that's not reflected in this budget. So for expenditures, the certified salaries have increased by 1%, a 40-cent per hour increase for our classified salaries. Our health insurance premiums increased by about 4.1%. We're seeing an 8% increase in our district insurance. That includes liability, property, and workers' comp. And the PERS and TERS on behalf rates this year are 6.62% and 17.91% respectively. That's not a cash inflow or outflow of the district, but we're required to report it in our annual operating budget. And again, I'm going to reiterate, this is a solid but conservative budget. There are unanticipated situations that will affect this budget and fund balance. Obviously, the governor's budget is one of them. Any unanticipated long-term leaves will affect the fund balance if we have an exceptionally cold winter. And, of course, we don't really know what the ferry schedule is going to look like at this point. So those are just some overviews of potential things to keep in our minds. So our fiscal 20 budget revenue is $8,774,000. Approximately 77% of that, or $6.8 million, comes from the state of Alaska. That includes the foundation funds, the on-behalf allocations for PERS and TERS. Again, I said this earlier, this is just a reporting requirement, but we have to show it on the revenue and the expenditure side of our report. And we receive a small quality schools grant as well. 21% of the district's operating budget in revenues comes from the borough. That's $1.8 million. Approximately 1% of our budget at $105,000 comes from E-Rate, which is a federal program that John Klugman-Painter and I apply. It helps offset the cost of internet for the district. Another 1% comes from local revenues, which are made up of facility use fees, insurance reimbursement for covering the pool and the community gym on the district's insurance policy, gate receipts from activities, and student fees for laptops, classroom fees, and activities. Are there any questions on the revenue?
Yes.
So reimbursement for coverage for the pool, does that mean that we are liable for what things go on at the pool and the borough just reimburses our premium? Give me the sitch.
Well, that's a good question. They are covered under our insurance policy, and it's been that way. I hate to say it since before my time. I believe it's because we predominantly use the community gym and the pool, so the liability is predominantly the school districts, but we'll probably need clarification from Susan Erickson.
So we cover it on the property side and as well as the liability side.
Hmm. And so the reimbursement is what, then the borough?
Their cost of us covering it on our policy. So they're reimbursing us for their portion. And I believe when I inquired about it 7 years ago, it's because the school district gets a better rate for their insurance.
Can we just stop with that? Okay, so we pay a portion of insurance.
They reimburse us a portion
of the insurance for the time that they are in charge of the pool, with community members using the pool in a community gym that is owned by the community and is community and not school.
Their portion and our portion, yes. No, I'm just saying
that.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
We'll follow up with you on that one.
No, that is the truth. We did ask. I remember that question.
Okay.
I just, since we are the policy owners, then ultimately, even if it happens under their time, aren't we the ones who will be taken to court or sued or whatever, ultimately responsible, even though they are reimbursing us? Mm-hmm. I don't understand that, taking
if
on
anything,
that risk.
Maybe we should be, our general liability should extend to our use of the facilities, but not necessarily, but only for the school district use. Mm-hmm. And that the borough should have their own liability for their own staff and their own.
And I'm not saying that they don't have that.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a longer conversation, but something that probably should happen soon rather than later.
Yes, let's have Susan here. She's always a great guest.
Yes, I agree. So we'll invite her to come and explain it.
That would be great.
Okay, is there any other questions on the revenue?
Oops, sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know how I missed that.
Other than a note that flat funding is a decrease in the world of rising costs.
And inflation.
In an inflation. And just the way the world works, flat funding is a decrease.
Well, let's talk about expenditures now.
Let's talk about how we can spend. 44%
of our operating budget is spent on regular instruction at $3.8 million. About 14% of our budget is spent on special education instruction and support at $1.2 million. 13% of the budget is spent on our facilities, with operations and maintenance at $1.1 million. 7% of the budget is spent on technology in the libraries at $629,000. 5% of the budget is spent on activities at $401,000. 4% is spent on district administration, which is the superintendent and school board budget, at $365,000. 4% is spent on school administration or the principal's budget at $326,000. 3% is spent on support services or the counselor's budget at $278,000. This does also include the on-behalf allocations for all of our grants, as well as the food service program, because we're required to report them in our general operating budget. So it's just a reporting requirement again, but it does inflate that budget. It's the counselor budget. It's the support services, 3% at 278, right there at the bottom.
Support services counselor.
Yep. Let's see, 3% is spent on school administration budget, which is the secretaries at the building level at $248,000. 3% is spent on the district admin support or the finance office budget at $244,000. So our total expenditures are $8,715,000. Are there any questions on the expenditures?
I have a question about the, you said they just released the $20 million to the districts. Was that already budgeted in last year's budget, or is it in this year's budget?
This current year, it's not reflected in here at all.
Okay.
They were supposed to do a $30 million for this year, but we did not budget it in because we're going on a conservative approach here.
Thank you.
Yep. So the final slide is a breakdown of object codes. It's just what the state of Alaska calls it. But what's most notable about this slide is that our district spends 81% of its operating budget on salaries and benefits at a total of $7 million. We spend 5% on supplies and materials at $454,000 and 4% on electricity and heating fuel at $370,000. Again, I'm going to reiterate, this is a sound and conservative budget, and we spend 72.3% on direct student instruction. We do. Any questions?
I just had a question. I noticed the student travel is $153,000, but the budget for activities was like $400,000. Is that right?
Yes. We have salaries also in that because the extra duty contracts are in there. So our certificated salaries in the activities budget is $109,000. Half of Jamie is coded in there, and then we have all the extra duty contracts. We have a lot of teachers that take those. We have non-certified salaries at $36,000. So that totals $145,000, and the benefits on that is $83,000. So that's 227. We have staff travel at 7,000, student at 150,000. Utility services at 1,200, which is a little MiFi that goes out on the ferries with the kids. 10,000 in supplies, materials. That's the miscellaneous things that come up that we need to pay for the activities. And $5,000 for dues and fees.
So is that budget for the travel, is this estimating that we're going to have to fly a lot more, or is this planning on doing the same?
This is flat from this current year. That's what we...
Is that the same as last year?
It's the same as this year. Mm-hmm. Fiscal 19, fiscal 20, same.
So that might go way up if we have to fly.
Well, or we'll adjust numbers of kids.
I don't think it'll go up.
You don't think it'll go up much, okay.
It'll be other adjustments, probably. Yeah.
Fewer kids
or adjusting the...
Those are a lot of the things which are still going to have to work out once we have more information. Mm-hmm. But being able to budget it even at $150,000, because that's what we actually spent this year, is what I mean by a solid budget. Yeah. I mean, we're still able to fund it at the same level.
So, thank you.
I'm excited by this budget. I just need the governor to work out his budget. In our favor.
They just need to do what they said they were going to do.
Right.
I will throw in my own personal opinion. They're not doing us any favors, Karen, by rolling out this budget.
I know. You're right.
For certain.
We're still going to see a reduction. Mm-hmm.
There are programs that we could be expanding. There are opportunities for our students that we could be giving them.
We can't.
That we cannot.
Right.
There are kids that want to travel and get athletic experience mm-hmm. that are not able to do that because of the budget constraints. So it's great that we do what we do with the money that we are given, but there is certainly room to do better mm-hmm. and certainly room where the state and other entities could chip in and we could offer an even better product.
I agree. But I'm given constraints to try and make it work.
You're preaching to the choir, sister.
I mean, if we receive that $30 million, I mean, that could be another position.
Well, that's what we were looking at.
That's a librarian position.
That's a
right.
librarian. So if you want to talk about that, that's exactly what that is. So that's very clear.
Yeah.
That's what that is. So.
So
we
for
have
those
two
that are listening, we did not, could not replace.
That's
Mary Ellen Anderson.
That's where that is.
Retired.
So,
couldn't afford to.
Well, we could at the expense of something else.
Right, or at the expense of something else.
Something
yeah.
that we don't want to give up.
Yeah. So, priorities and all that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
Good job.
Oh.
Thank you, Karen.
Do we have a preliminary plan at all for what thoughts are going to be if they go through with the $30 million one-time grant?
Where it would go?
Where we would come back with a supplemental?
It would potentially depend on when we find that out, you know, because it's like, and how stable that is.
We find out in January.
It could end up being, you know,
August.
Yeah, it would really depend on when.
We spent a lot on our facilities in the last 2 years.
Yep. We have.
You mean the borough's facilities?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because these are borough-owned buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We are a benefit to the borough. Period. End stop.
Yes, we are.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor of approving the FY20 budget? Answer Irene's roll call.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, 2019-2020 personnel hire. I move that we approve the personnel hire of Jason Regula as classified technology support assistant for the 2019-2020 school year. Is there a second?
No second.
Seconded by Sarah. Irene, call the roll.
Yeah. Jay Lister.
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes. And he is a former student that actually worked, I think, pretty closely with Mr. Clute Painter previously.
And Caleb
as well.
And he's actually worked a little bit with Homeport downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, and secondarily, I move that we approve the personnel hire of Tyler Thane, Alyssa Block, and Chelsea Sir
mm-hmm.
as special education instructional aides. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Katie. Irene, call the roll.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
And it looks like two of them are possibly Coast Guard family
mm-hmm.
moving in.
Yep, some new families and new people.
Be excited. Tyler in the schools, too. He's going to do a good job.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler, yeah, has had
mm-hmm.
now some coaching and...
Yeah,
moving
class.
On in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Personnel hire for summer positions. I move that we approve the personnel hire of Christine Wallace as summer school teacher for July 8th to the 19th, Cindy Fry as the summer school teacher from July 22nd to the 26th, and Julie Anderson as the temporary extended school year swim aide that runs from July 9th to the 26th. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Sarah. I just have a question before we go into the vote. Does that are Christine and Cindy running completely different programs?
They are. Okay. They're two different programs. That's why they, one of them is a special, the one that Julie's doing is special education specifically. And then Cindy and Christine are doing extended school year or summer school, which can include special education students, but also includes just kids that are referred that need some extra support, reading support.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just didn't know if one was picking up like the first half of the kids and then Cindy comes in for the second half of the same kids?
Sounds like that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're sharing a 3-week
program. I'm sorry. Christine and Cindy are sharing the same program. Julie has it's a separate program.
Yes. All right. Irene, go ahead and call the roll.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Nora Lutowski.
Yes. ESSA Federal Grant District Plan. Superintendent Kluphainer will provide an overview of the ESSA District Plan and will provide an opportunity.